You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, January 4th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the kid, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. Tony Cincata as well, here on a Wednesday, all day Wednesday, baby. Taking you up until 10 a.m. Eastern time, and the fantasy best friends forever. Scotty, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, fellas. Isaiah Thomas decided to be unselfish last night. And Tony, I heard you talking about this morning. DeMarcus Cousins thinks he's Patrick Ewing.
Oh, Patrick was a guy that liked to fall in love with the three-pointers every once in a while,
well,
too.
Patrick was a guy that like, they criticize a lot because he shot too far from the basket. He didn't fall in love with as much of the three-pointers as Cuz did, but, you know, a lot of people used to criticize him.
Cuz now!
A lot of people used to criticize him because they felt like he didn't post down low enough and, like, he would shoot from the outside too much.
Ah, that's crazy. Yeah.
First name basis.
No, Cuz is a...
No, nickname basis.
We're not even calling him DeMarcus or Boogie, it's Cuz.
Yeah, Cuz.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Tony, good morning, my man.
Good, Scott. How are we doing tonight? I mean, I felt good. Like, today was the first day that I actually gave, during the Fantasy News Desk, the Intercontinental Championship.
How about that? You were there for it.
It was a fun night, and I'll tell you, crazy last night is not only do you get SmackDown, you get this new 205 Live that you had to, then after that there are a few doc matches. I think I got out of there like at midnight.
That's actually crazy. The show looked, I actually watched it before I went to bed last night. I went to bed pretty late. It looked like a good show, Tone.
It was a lot of fun, and of course, Dean Ambrose, of course, there. And then he had the big signing match with John Cena.
Yeah, that was all
Cena
awesome
fought
promo.
AJ Styles.
That was an awesome promo.
In the doc match, it was crazy. So it was Cena versus AJ Styles, which lasted about 4 minutes. And then Baron Corbin came in and, of course, interfered with the fight. And then all of a sudden, the Alpha.
Really?
The Alpha Tag Team Champions. They came in to help
Cena.
John Cena out.
Right.
And then that turned into a 3-on-3 versus Bray Wyatt
and
the crew there. Yeah, so and it turned into all of a sudden three different matches. That was one match when it started.
That is pretty cool.
The Miz lost.
The Miz lost the Intercontinental Championship. Man. That's right. Dean Ambrose is the new champ. So that's big time. Corey, good morning.
What's the deal? Scott, are you root for the Miz now?
Yeah, I still talk to Mike.
Mike.
When you talk to him, you call him Mike.
What?
When you talk to him, because you still talk to him, you call him Mike?
When I'm not talking to him, like, publicly, yeah.
That's funny.
That's his real name.
When he speaks to Eric Young, do you call him Jeremy? Ever?
I don't know. I don't know Eric as long as I've known
Mike.
Long as I've known Mike.
You know,
I love it.
I think Eric like prefers to be called
Eric
when the Miz is off stage. I think he prefers to be called Mike.
Michael.
I don't think it's Michael.
It's off stage. It's not how he would call it.
That's
the
relationship that they have, Scott and Mike.
By the way.
Yeah.
Speaking. Of first name basis. Speaking of friends, Scott, I gotta bring this up.
Sure.
So we hosted Out of Bounds yesterday.
Oh yeah, Scott, we got a problem.
We hosted Out of Bounds yesterday here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Yeah.
And we have joked, you know, Corey and myself, and particularly with you, about getting at the address a little too much, right? We talked about this. You know, it's public studio. I can get at the address whenever I want, right?
Yeah.
I think we need to stop that policy.
Probably so.
Why? I need to stop that.
Did something in particular happen?
It did, actually.
Something in particular did happen.
So, I did hear Out of Bounds yesterday. Fill me in.
Oh, we didn't talk about it. I was scared for my life at that point. I'm preparing for the show. Corey goes out to prepare. You know, uses the facilities downstairs. Mike Gardano, of course, the host of Out of Bounds, goes and uses the bathroom. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's downstairs. So, I'm sitting here doing some work.
So this door opens up. All right. And you know, there's a lot of meetings that go on here, as you know, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, right. And someone...
A gentleman.
Gentleman just starts staring at me.
Yes. Yeah.
And I go, hello? Great. Can I help you? Mm-hmm. Starts talking about his fantasy league, week 17. And goes, I go, oh, okay. And I wasn't sure if he was a friend of somebody that was here, right? Like of Mike's, or a boss, whatever. I don't know. I'm being very pleasant, very polite, because I don't know. Right?
Yeah, you don't know who he is.
Right,
yeah.
There's a lot of people that walk in here that like we're supposed to be nice to. We don't know who they are. You know?
Right.
Right. So he walks in here, he starts talking about fantasy, and he goes, oh, is Scott Engel on this show? I go, no, Scott went home for the day. Oh, well, I'm in the studio because Scott gave the address, so I'm here to watch the show. I go, what? You mind if I sit in here, inside our studio?
Inside the studio.
Inside
Scott.
The studio. Do you mind if I watch the show? I go, I go, okay, sure, hold on. And, so he puts his, 1 second zone, he puts his briefcase down, he says, I want to go take a leak. We'll be back. So he leaves the studio, goes take a leak.
Well, he's gone.
With his bag in here, by the way, just sitting here. So then Corey comes back, and Mike comes back, and I'm freaking out. Like, I don't know who this guy is.
Right.
And his bag's just here. He is gone for like a half hour. I think there's a bomb in his bag.
He comes back.
Really?
Into
so
the
who do you think would blow up the. Hold on. Why would someone blow up a fantasy host?
Well, we gave him bad advice.
Exactly.
We gave him bad advice.
Oh, well, yeah. That's legit. I didn't think of that because I don't usually try to give out bad advice.
Well,
it happens on occasion,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So
yes.
I come back in. And this is
go ahead. Now I'm interested. You got
this,
me in.
This right. Caucasian gentleman, and probably
come on, you have to identify his race.
Well, yeah. Actually, this makes
we thought he
it's
might
better
have
to
been,
paint a picture.
You're right.
Thought
you're
he
right.
might have been from Peking. So you know, we can
this Caucasian,
that
this Caucasian gentleman, you know, probably in his 40s or so,
right.
comes in with this long black trench coat like Sting. So now I'm watching this son of a gun because
Sting
I'm like, yeah, Sting the wrestler. So now I'm watching this son of a gun because I'm like,
what's going on?
What
who
the hell is going
guy?
On? Like, wait, who is this guy? And he's just sitting up there. So we go to our first break. And I'm like, what's up? He's like, hey. You know, like he's supposed to be here. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, he said he mentioned that he mentioned your name, Scott Engel.
Right.
He said he was an internet radio producer and you've been on his program before.
Oh.
This dude's name was Steve.
I was going to get the name
Steve
out.
What?
Oh, my bad. Well, I'm sorry.
We don't know. He would not give us his last name.
Yeah, but he was kind of a... Yeah.
Hold on. Did someone ask and he didn't give it to him?
I was just like, hey, you know, I'm Greg Susser. What's your name? I'm Steve.
Oh, this is even weird.
So, yeah, so, really? You know, he really? Just said, he sits on...
So, yeah,
not on the chair.
No.
I offer him the chair. He sits on the damn floor and he got with his back turned listening to the show.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He kept, like, going in his pockets and stuff like that, Scott. You know... Only way a person can hurt you is with their hands. So I had my eye on his hands the whole time. So that joker's sitting here for an hour, Scott, and you have to stop giving out the damn address.
Scott, hold on, wait. So as Corey mentions, he doesn't sit on the chair right here. We have two chairs right here in our studio, right?
Yeah.
We have another chair here, just three of us at the desk, another chair right there. He's sitting, looking at the Griswold jersey on the wall, on the floor.
On the floor, Scott.
For an hour. This entire show.
For an hour.
And I'm just sitting here looking
Greg's
at Corey.
Not making this
I'm looking at Mike. I'm like, what in the F is going on?
We need a bouncer.
This is amazing.
I think we have a dilemma here now.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yep.
We have a dilemma here now.
Yes.
And I'll explain.
Please.
This is a public studio. It's a showcase.
Right.
It's historic in fantasy sports history. It's the first and ever only TV and radio studio dedicated to fantasy sports. It's in a public destination, in a hotel, in a restaurant with windows so people can see in.
In.
So people
see.
Can see in.
Yes.
Now, yes. When you look at like street level studios, people can, you know, crowd around the glass and watch the show and stuff like that. And I think that's the concept. We don't want to drive people away. But people can't be coming into the studio itself. You know what I'm saying?
There's I gotta be honest though.
There's an on-air light outside that we had installed, and it should be very clear that only authorized personnel should enter. I think we should welcome people to come down here and watch the show from outside the studio, but to enter in the studio, I think people should have the common sense not to come in the studio. Or at least well, there should be some sort of security or some sort of signage, you know, or you know,
he did mention Scott Angle's name.
It's funny that when I tried to go to a private party right next door here and I work here, that I was told private party, get out. But there's nobody over here guarding our area.
I was saying for a while that we need a bouncer.
I think it is a public studio, but there needs to be a more secure environment.
When we first talked about the studio, and it might have been Nando that said, oh, we're going to put a couch in there, and if people want to come in and watch for a little bit, they can sit and watch. It'll be very interactive.
What about when the station gets bigger? How many people are going to get fit on the couch?
Yeah, but here's the thing. A couch, cool. These chairs, cool. He was sitting on the damn floor.
We just can't let anybody in here. There are people who come in here.
We can't just give everybody the address, Scott.
Oh, all right. So at this point, you know, there were three of us here in studio at the time. Corey Parson, myself, and Michael Cardano. And Mike Cardano joins the program now. Good morning, Mike.
I left there. I was a little queasy. The fact that he had his back to us the whole time made me a little nervous.
Yeah. I was uncomfortable.
Well, so I wasn't letting this dude. I wasn't letting this dude go without getting some ID.
Okay.
Steve Cervillo.
Oh, giving last names out now, too.
Let's Google this guy.
Yeah.
Cirvello.
All right.
And I got his address.
He works for...
and his phone number and his email address.
I have his information now. Oh, I have his Twitter account here. I have his job. He's a real person.
We're getting some feedback now. I don't know.
Yeah, Mike, we're getting major feedback on the line here.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll let you go. You got the guy.
All right, I appreciate it. Do you feel more comfortable now that we know who it is?
No.
Okay. There you go. There you go.
You know, you guys weren't as funny yesterday. Now I can figure it out. Now I figured out what happened.
We
was watching. I had my eye on this joker, yeah.
Yeah, like yesterday it was like all about business, and we had some weird topics too, right, which was surprising to me. Now I know you guys were.
We had a dude in here.
Your mind was traveling.
Yeah, we had a dude in here. We didn't know what his deal was, so we slow down on giving out the address. If you find us, you find us.
That's interesting. He's actually he's had a lot of wrestling personalities on his show, Tony.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah.
What if I gave out the address but say do not enter the studio? You can watch from outside.
I think this guy's a major wrestling fan. Actually.
Oh, so now he's okay.
I didn't say that.
I'm actually more worried about him now.
To be honest, I was just about to say the same thing, Scotty. To be honest, might went the other way.
That's very interesting.
I haven't found him. Steve Cervillo?
He's got... let's spell this guy's last name out.
Cardano already did it.
Well,
the guy's
going to
sit in the studio.
You're going to do it again?
Yeah.
No. So he's got 670 Twitter followers. I wonder if he tweeted about us last night. No, he hasn't tweeted in a while.
It's so poor.
Gary Colvin said he was Angle here to give us a wet willy.
Okay.
That was probably it. Angle, I'm surprised Angle didn't call him out for only having 670 Twitter followers.
Yeah,
Corey, remember back in the day when we had...
back in the day, that was like 4 months ago.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph on the SiriusXM show. And,
I heard the story.
The poor guy's first... The first day, and Scott's like, "Man, you only have 400 followers. nobody really listens to your show. Nobody cares about you."
Meanwhile, I'm just following Tony's lead. Like every day during the week, it's like, "What else do we got on this station? Just guys like friggin' Wreck-It Ralph."
So we got crazy people coming into the studio.
My friend Brian on Twitter says, don't expect me to come hang out anymore after this. #NoMoreBagels no more bagels.
Okay. That's his choice.
No. I think Brian Ambos.
Well, people we know.
Get other last names out. Unbelievable.
We give him Brian's
people we
name
know
out
are
like
okay.
like a million times, though. It's nothing new.
Huh. Yeah, people we know are cool.
Brian, you're always welcome.
Just don't come in here and sit on the damn floor.
Without us knowing you.
Yeah.
Well, he knew you. Because
He said Scott Angle.
I don't know
the king,
him.
The bald head stooge.
He didn't say that.
He went through the whole thing.
He just said Scott.
I don't know
where's
this
Scott
guy
Angle?
Is.
He invited us here. Me here, excuse me.
All right. Well, I still welcome you to come down, but stay outside the studio, please, until we clear you.
Well, you bring us food. You know, you bring us food. It's pretty much. What is that's a quick clear. Then? That's a quick clear. All right.
I thought about that. That's a, if someone brought you food, you'd eat it.
Oh, shit. That's like when you tell your kids on Halloween, you know, be careful about the candy you eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when you're when you're the fantasy advice guy, I don't think people are trying to, like, off you. They want you to stay alive because they need the fantasy info.
It depends on how much money you're playing
Kevin
for.
Love
like,
was,
if they're like, if you're like 1-2 in a tournament and he's number two, he might try to come and offer you.
Thanks, Scott.
Kevin Love was food poisoned the other night, and I was thinking about that. Like, celebrities and athletes, they take a when they go out, they take some big chances that someone doesn't tamper with their food.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Hotel rooms too. You know what I'm saying? Because you know the kitchen and the hotel. You never know what they, because, you know.
That's right.
Somebody can be like, oh, look at that's the, you know, whatever team is staying here. And, oh, look, it's Kenneth Dixon. Yeah. Oh, look, there's Terrence West.
Love got food poisoning the other night. Tony was saying it could have been from a Pelicans fan.
I have Terrence West on my fantasy team. I'm mixing up the mashed potatoes. I need Kenneth Dixon to take off tomorrow.
So, hey. I gotta ask.
I can see Corey doing that. Corey's been on the show saying, "I just need Julian Edelman to get ill." You know, I've heard him say that.
Yeah,
not like tear his groin or nothing, but have an illness,
like a real bad head cold, to keep you out.
So Julian Edelman will play the Jets. He'll stay here in this hotel, and then Corey will be call Rock and Riley's and say, "Send him over some buffalo wings."
I was in high school, and I was working part time as a short order cook, and I dropped 30 pounds of barbecue beef on the floor. And I was panicking because I thought I was going to lose my job. So I scraped it all back in the bin and threw it out in the line. What would you guys have done in that situation?
Mm. Hmm. 30 pounds of beef on the floor.
Accidents happen.
Yeah. Mm. They'd have been, y'all, that beef would have got ate. You know what I'm saying?
I would have fed it to the dog.
After the heat hit it, it'd have been like, they all right.
I don't think I could serve it, though. I can
really
weigh on my conscience.
Well, how do you tell the boss that the boss
said, "Look, you know, look, boss, meat, you know, like right. an accident happened. I feel like, you know, honesty would probably be the best policy. I'll try to be more careful, but it was an accident. You know, I'm sure Suspania, they've dealt with.
What would you have done?
Yeah,
it was an accident, right?
But it was like 5 minutes before the dinner rush opened. Like I was out of time too.
Oh, God. You can't serve that.
No.
You can't serve that, Tony.
Yeah, I did.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I had to. I was thinking about me.
Yeah, you're me guy.
If I come down to see the Seahawks and the Jaguars next year, we'll go out for dinner.
He invited himself.
I knew not to eat it.
That's the most important person, right, Tony?
You're me guy.
Yeah, that's it.
That's okay.
You weren't here the other day, Corey. Tony invited me down to see the game.
Yeah, yeah. No,
because we were going to go on a trip this year to see the Seahawks and the Patriots.
Oh, this is what you don't know.
And he moved.
Corey, we have donned this 2017 this year. This is the Angle Revival Tour of 2017.
Oh, what's that?
This is the Scott Angle Revival Tour of 2017.
What's that mean, Scotty?
Scott will be, hopefully, if things work out, he'll be attending the Seahawks Giants game. It's in New York, right?
In MetLife,
good. Right? New Jersey, whatever.
Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, Scott likes to clarify.
He
that.
Does. Yeah. Seattle plays Jacksonville. He's going to go down visit Tony.
Oh, that's going to be a nice time.
And his dream, obviously, to go to see a game in Seattle.
Yeah.
This year. So the goal, if everything works out well, is see 3 Seattle Seahawks games.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And just make it. You know, he's 50 years old, right? It's the year of the revival.
Okay.
Scott Angle.
Trying to get your mojo back.
The Kiss Cruise would be the crowning
achievement. The Kiss Cruise is the crowning achievement, of course.
Trying to get your mojo back.
I'd also like
back,
to take
huh?
my wife to Vegas, too.
Oh, you didn't say that previously.
How about that?
Oh, yeah. You're going to renew
She's always
your
wanted to go to Vegas.
The Elvis Chapel.
You renew the Elvis and the Elvis Chapel?
Well, she won't do it where I want to do it, though.
At the Kiss mini golf course,
they actually have a Kiss wedding chapel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So is that the dream?
Oh,
Jesus. She won't do that? She won't do it there?
No, she's
probably doing it. She likes Elvis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
How does a place double as a miniature golf course wedding chapel?
inside the miniature golf course, they have a small wedding chapel.
Yeah, it's hole number 8.
Really?
It's actually off to the side of the golf course.
Wow,
it's like a small
Las
area.
Vegas,
people have actually gotten married there.
That's crazy. Now, what?
It's just the Giants is the easy part. It's like I don't know if I could afford these trips to Seattle and Vegas and Jacksonville.
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. The tickets to Jacksonville in the airline are probably going to cost you less than the ticket to that Giants Seahawks game at MetLife.
There you go. You buy them as soon as the schedule comes out. You'll be cheap.
Yeah, in Jacksonville, you can get to Jacksonville pretty. It's not going to cost
you. I want to go to a Seahawks game with my family, though, and like stay out there making a trip for all of us.
Well, you can do that.
It's like $1,000 per person.
Don't put them.
$1,000 per person.
You're talking like hotel and airfare.
You stay with Tony Zagata.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Seattle.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Stay with the general.
He said the general.
Oh, yeah, the general.
You probably know people in the
really
media
well
relations
enough.
You probably stay with, right? You write for them?
I'm friendly with them, but I don't. Not to the point where I could stay with them, I don't think.
Well, in Vegas is probably.
I do know some other people.
Vegas, you know, you can probably cheap flight to Vegas and stay at a cheap hotel. You can make that happen.
Yeah. $30 at Harrah's.
We might have
right
to do
now.
$30 at Harrah's.
We might
right
have
now.
To do a GoFundMe.
Oh, I don't know if people are going to pay it for the Scott Angle Revival Tour 2017.
Steve might.
Steve Servillo might.
Steve might. Man, right?
All right, let's take
after
a break.
After he kills us. He'll leave Scott.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll take a break here. We come back. We'll talk a little football. Give you the update of the coaches. Stick around. It's Roto Experts in the Morning. If we're still here, Steve doesn't come inside and scare us. It's Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Road to Experts in the Morning, Fast Sports Radio Network. Scott, don't give away where he works out on the air.
I just found out.
I don't want to plug where he works.
I'm not going to plug where he works, but I did detective work and found out this guy works in the fantasy industry.
I think he wants to work in the fantasy industry.
No, he already does work in the industry, and I think maybe he's looking to like move up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
he showed up here, looking to do some networking.
Yeah, but don't wear the people that work here out.
Yeah.
But you know how he found out the address to where we are.
I think we established that. Yeah,
that would be you.
I didn't expect that, though.
Well, see, this is what Corey and I were trying to warn you about.
I didn't think that somebody was going to do that, though.
Oh, well. It's where you went wrong, my friend. It's where you went wrong. All right,
You want to continue to hammer me about it?
Oh, boy.
Like, here we go. Come on. If I would have done this.
I knew this was coming.
I already said, it's like we're in a dilemma. It's a public studio, but people shouldn't be walking in, Think they would have the common sense to knock on the door or something.
Not everybody has a common sense, though.
Yeah.
This is what happened to Selena,
That's a poor comparison.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It is until it goes too far.
Ethan.
That's kind of out there.
The fantasy executive, help!
That's the last time we'll hear from him.
I feel like you guys have gone too far.
No, because I'm just saying, Scott, just be careful giving people.
She's been gone a while.
Because we don't have a bouncer.
Yeah, and those
yet.
Things happen. That's what I mean. Yeah, well, you happen. Like, radio host, I could get you probably. I could probably Google and find 10 radio hosts that were
assaulted. Yeah, no.
I just think it would be common sense if you see a studio, you just don't walk in, especially when there's an on-air light on.
Scott, I can't speak for everybody.
I can speak about, I talk to a lot of people that have no common sense every single day, and I saw one of them on Corey's Facebook page yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. I saw that.
That was a great.
Tony came out guns a-blazing. I am the fantasy executive's PR person. No comment. Without going into detail, Corey updated his cover photo on Facebook to have the Fantasy Sports Network background here in the studio.
Like, I know, I took the picture.
And somebody asked him, what his career trajectory was at this point. And Tony said maybe you shouldn't ask that on a public forum like Facebook.
No, the great line was of that exchange was. We need to have consistency and common sense.
Yeah, this person was a fantasy industry person known for their consistency articles in the past.
Mm. Mm. The let's give a little update on the head coaching movement.
Yeah, let's talk about some coaches.
We'll talk some coaches. That's cool.
You got to have the teams. You know, coaches is a big part of the analysis when it comes to fantasy.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to actually talk about it later on the show. I think it's a good time to bring it up now. What losing coaches will do to certain players, right? Like, we keep hearing Kyle Shanahan mentioned everywhere, right? Like, yeah. Kyle Shanahan mentioned on every single job, every single interview. You can interview with Denver. I think he's like 5,000 interviews on Friday, including in Jacksonville, I believe. But what would losing a guy like Kyle Shanahan do for Atlanta and Matt Ryan, right? Because if he loses Matt Ryan, this is like another offensive coordinator for him. And if he lost Dirk Cutter before, and he had Mike Mularkey at one point, he's gone. I get your veteran quarterback, but Matt Ryan, Corey, playing the best football of his career right now under Kyle Shanahan. If Kyle Shanahan loses,
played his worst too under Kyle Shanahan, right?
Last year
before he adjusted to the system.
Yeah.
Right.
He was saying, I was talking about that coming into this year, that he felt like he was overwhelmed with the system. I think what they need to do is maybe promote somebody internally that's familiar with the system and not tweak things too much.
I prefer players that have been in a similar offensive system for a couple years now, where the game plan doesn't really change that much.
Right, you got those 2 years players, now.
tend to be more consistent when it comes to production. If they promote somebody within the staff, like Scott mentioned, then that gives you a little bit more hope. But if they bring in a whole new offensive scheme, then you kind of got to be like, okay, well, you know, then you got to worry about how you rank your Atlanta Falcons moving forward. This could be a situation where if he's gone and they bring in somebody different and they switch up the offense on Matt Ryan, I think you got to look at, you know, you don't know who they bring in there, first of all, but it leaves some things to be, you know, worried about when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons. So this is a situation to monitor. He's likely going to get a job. And then where he goes, say he goes to Denver. Well, now you look at that situation. He doesn't have a quarterback out there, but he does have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. And if you bring those guys in the Kyle Shanahan system, I think you have to rank them a little bit higher.
Why don't they just make Raheem Morris, you know, the offensive coordinator? He's already assistant head coach and wide receivers coach.
I don't know if Raheem Morris can run
an offense.
Yeah, and first of all, Raheem Morris, that's the dude that was in Tampa. Wasn't he a defensive coach?
He was.
Defensive-minded coach when he was in Tampa?
He is defensive-minded coach.
So him taking over as the OC may not be the best idea.
All right, so you got Matt LaFleur as the quarterback's coach.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
LaFleur. Matt LaFleur.
In fantasy hockey last night.
Yeah.
That guy was sitting on the floor.
The Broncos job seems like that's the one job that they actually have a coach in mind, and it actually is, surprisingly, Vance Joseph, who they tried to hire last year, I guess.
Yeah, so I saw that, and that's what Alex Marvez reported last night, and they see Vance Joseph. I think Vance Joseph, Kyle Shanahan, definitely the favorites there in Denver its own. And I, like I said just a moment ago, Matt Ryan, you guys both said it, that these guys – Matt Ryan played the worst football of his career year one out of Shanahan, best football of his career in year two. That means next year, if he does have a new coordinator from somewhere else, or maybe he even is the quarterback's coach or whatever, we don't know what to expect. Like, we can't draft him where maybe he should be drafted with Shanahan, right? Like, we shouldn't be doing that. Anybody?
It's crazy. You're 100% right. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be like that, because when you're a coach, I don't care what you're a coach of, you should be adjusting to your talent, not bringing in your own system. And unfortunately, we have all these guys that like to bring in their own system, and it's crazy. So, yeah, there is adjustment periods, and there are situations there where you hope, if you're a Matt Ryan owner in some side of a dynasty league, that it is someone within. But even then, it's not the same thing, because everybody tries to put their own touch on things.
Yeah, the new person is going to come in like, listen, I saw this watching film. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to try to switch something around and play with it and tinker with it a little bit. And then, so you never know what the situation can be. But I do think it's something you monitor. Now, the talent on a player like Julio Jones is immense. But, you know, a guy like Freeman, does he take a step backwards? Does he take – I mean, when you're far as you're ranking him for 2017, you have to monitor the head coaching and see what's going on with that situation in Atlanta. And then the new coaches, they'll have press conferences and stuff like that. And if they're telling the truth, you might be able to get a beat off of them.
But I think it's just funny. Remember, like, we all liked, not all of us, but a lot of people, one of the reasons they loved Devontae Parker was Adam Gase, the coach. This is the Demaryius Thomas spot in this offense. Like, and that's how we kind of relate it, right, when new coaches go. So, as you just said, with Kyle Shanahan, he goes to Denver. Oh, man, that's Demaryius Thomas in the Julio Jones role. This guy's in the Mohamed Sanu role. This is pretty good. Like, this is how we kind of react to these coaches in these new spots. Is that smart, Scott, trying to peg people for different spots given these coaches' histories?
I think you really got to take it on a case-by-case basis. I don't think you can paint that with a broad brush.
Well, Shanahan, though, I mean, what have we seen in the Shanahan offense? We've seen, just going off the top of my head, of course, you see the big year, the big numbers in Atlanta this year. But, I mean, look what he did with Robert Griffin. Robert Griffin was a good quarterback.
Very good.
I think Pierre Garçon might have led the league in receptions.
He did.
There's plenty of, you know, one of the years Shanahan was there. Where else has he been at? I can't think. I'm drawing a blank right now. But, yeah, Shanahan, he coaches offenses. He's very well at coaching offense, and he's a fantasy-friendly coach.
I look at this with you never look at – he wasn't so great in Houston.
When was he in Houston?
So he was in Houston. That was his first offensive coordinator job, I believe, was under Gary Kubiak in Houston.
Yeah.
I think to be fair, Tone, he's kind of just grown as an offensive coordinator. You know, he had been young, in all honesty.
Andre Johnson was there, too.
He was.
Well, why isn't it Matt Ryan and Julio Jones just make you better?
It very well could make you better, make you grander. But as Corey points out,
last year it didn't.
No, it did not. No. But he looked good with as Corey said with RG3. Did he look good in Cleveland?
You're talking about 2014. Cleveland. They might have won two games. Who knows? That wasn't the big year for Josh Gordon. That was 2013.
Mm-hmm. So, it was the year after that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing I get concerned about, though, you look at his history, though, it's just like, but, you know, this is a natural transition, but anytime a guy goes from a coordinator to a head coach, you know, you're taking a jump and a risk, so, but, you know, this is the train it goes by, too.
Why he's had four different jobs?
So he goes from Houston to Washington for his dad, right? His dad's the head coach. He goes to the offensive coordinator under his dad. So that move makes sense. Then his dad, everyone gets cleaned out. Okay, that one makes sense. Goes to Cleveland. Cleveland's whole coaching staff gets cleaned out. So now he goes to Atlanta. He hasn't had any stability whatsoever. I don't know if it's his fault.
I think it's that the fact that he's getting this work means that he knows what he's doing, in my opinion.
I agree.
On Cleveland, he resigned because he said he wouldn't make Johnny Manziel a starter.
Well, that's pretty smart.
He has good judgment.
It's quality. Unless you're the GM of a team, right? Is this the guy you want to hire?
Right. He didn't draft Johnny. Like, you got to think, if he's the head coach, he would probably be very much involved in the draft room, and he wouldn't draft a guy like Johnny Manziel.
I don't think there's a lot of rookie head coaches that are gonna have anything to do with the draft.
Well, they're in the room at least. We know that.
I think that's why we have a lot of disputes, though.
Sure, absolutely. The head totally.
Your job is to coach the team.
Right. Totally agree with that.
Yeah. So.
They're going to say something else.
Yeah. No, you know, it'll be, he's definitely going to get a job. I guess which job it's going to be is going to be something we're going to see. And what do you do when you're one of these coordinators? Like, if you look at Josh McDaniel and look at Kyle Shanahan, can they go back and just coach their team? Like, how effective are they?
It's Lane Kiffin, right?
They don't get one.
It's Lane Kiffin.
Yeah,
I think it's a great question. Mm. Like, how does you have Kyle Shanahan, who has legitimately four interviews this week? You have Josh McDaniels, who has four interviews this week. Let's say, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they come back next week and they forget about their interviews. And they got to coach the team. Now, I had read that Dan Quinn basically sat Kyle Shanahan down previously and said, listen, prepare for all your interviews before the season. I don't know how that's possible. He said that's what he did when he was in Seattle. He prepared for head coaching interviews before the season started so he wouldn't be distracted now. I don't know how that's possible. But
yeah, I remember I remember some of those coaches that, you know, defensive coordinators that they were picking off from the Seahawks, like, they held their interviews off until, like, after the playoffs were over, and they still had a bye.
I don't know if they held their interviews off. I mean, Dan Quinn accepted the job after the Super Bowl. I mean, it wasn't announced after the Super Bowl. I don't know if he held the interview off.
I remember one or two of those Seattle coaches, though, like, holding off until after the season was over.
Well, I know he didn't, like, sign until after the season was over, yeah. But it was a foregone conclusion that he would be in Atlanta. I don't remember Gus Bradley, to be totally fair.
Yeah.
This is from Kyle Shanahan's Wikipedia page. This is funny that this is in there. The Redskins' performance during his tenure led to some to question whether Shanahan's hiring was an example of unearned nepotism.
Yeah, Shanahan's a coach.
I think that, yeah, and people would look at it that way because of, you got to think, at this time, Robert Griffin was still a young player, and we didn't really know what he was. We saw that he was good and dynamic, but you were hearing all of these things coming out of the organization about Robert Griffin and Kyle Shanahan, Robert Griffin and Mike Shanahan, and there being some tension there. So I think people were placing the blame on the coaching staff.
Maybe it should have been RG3.
And maybe it should have been RG3 saying, you know, that. So it wasn't so much that the player wasn't getting coached up. It was the fact that people were looking at him and saying, okay, well,
this dude has all this talent in the world.
Why are you ruining him? Why are you trying to force yourself on him?
Right.
Where in the long run, we came to find out that it was the other way around. I mean, but it's basically the West Coast offense. That's the system that Shanahan runs. They just run the ball more with their version of the West Coast offense than most other teams do, and they tend to have some big time playmakers on the outside. So it's going to be interesting to see, especially if he ends up in Denver.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back and talk more, including where does Mike Smith end up, if anywhere? And also, all these reports, are they just coming from agents, or should we believe them? Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning. Come back right after this. So Mike Smith's a name that we've heard connected to Jacksonville in the past. We know he's going to get an interview out west with the Rams, perhaps the 49ers. Former coach of the Atlanta Falcons before Dan Quinn, Mike Smith, and he made it to the playoffs and things kind of fell apart. Not an inspiring hire, but supposedly he's pretty good in the interviews. He did well with the Giants last year. For whatever reason, that holds weight around the NFL. Mike Smith, does he deserve another job, Scotty?
This guy was a good regular season coach. He was 66-46. During the regular season, they won 13 games twice, but I think frustration built in Atlanta because the first time they won 13 games, they got zapped out in the divisional round like immediately, and he has a one by the Packers, and then he has a 1-4 playoff record overall. I think, you know, maybe there was a Marvin Lewis type feeling about him where, like, okay, this guy can only take us so far,
right?
But then you look at certain organizations, maybe like Jacksonville, and they want to get to that point. So it would make sense.
Who needs a... Do the Rams need a defensive-minded head coach?
I think the Rams are leaving no stone unturned.
Okay. I think when Smith came in with the Falcons, like, they needed to be turned around, and like he got them to the point where they were first winning, and then they were winning 13 games. So the Rams need to go in a direction like that.
Well, both the Rams and San Diego reached out to Mike Smith, and it looks like San Diego is only interviewing defensive coordinators. Like, that's clear. That's where they think their issues are.
Yeah, I mean,
everybody we've heard connected to San Diego is a defensive guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a Marty Schottenheimer, Marvin Lewis type situation. Like, you know, the guy will get you to the playoffs with... What happens from there, you don't know, but the Rams are a team in need of, like, getting to that point where they could get to the playoffs.
So I don't want to just put a cap on this, right? Like, all right, so this guy's never won a playoff game, so we think he can't win. I mean, Bill Belichick could win a playoff game, and then look at Bill Belichick, right? Like, we don't want to just say just because a coach didn't have success previously, he can't do it again, right? He can't get farther than he has in the past. I don't think that's fair to say. Tom Coughlin couldn't win the big one. He won two Super Bowls, you know? So I don't know if it's
maybe the guy does deserve another chance, right? Talking it through.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I'm just saying...
But with Marvin Lewis, the guy's 0-7, so...
But Marvin Lewis is only head coaching job. It's not like he's gotten two shots. Yeah.
And it's never like Marvin Lewis... See, people... It aggravates me that people don't know what they're talking about because Marvin... He's never had the best team.
Sure.
So he gets in the playoffs, and he's probably never been a favorite in any of those seven games.
Yeah, it's possible.
You do the Parcells thing, say your record is what you said to this, you know?
For sure. Yes, Marvin Lewis needs to get over the hump. But I don't want to just say Mike Smith, Marvin Lewis. Mike Smith's already won more playoff games than Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, one.
But you know what? his time wore out in Atlanta. I think you're right. They got frustrated. He can get over the hump. But I don't think it doesn't mean he can't get over the hump next time.
No, that's a good point. With Lewis, you know, maybe there might need to be a change in culture in Cincinnati.
You really don't like Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis don't need to have that job no more.
What do you mean?
Because he's not doing... What is he doing?
Tony, why do these guys hate Marvin Lewis?
I don't understand either. Marvin Lewis, he has a team payroll that's always like $30 million under the cap. They don't try to win. They give him old players nobody wants, and he makes the playoffs every year. What else is he supposed to do?
That's true, too. But, I mean, at some point, do they want to win? Or are they satisfied with being mediocre?
They don't care.
They're satisfied with mediocrity?
They want to make profit. That's it.
Yeah. Right, if they're satisfied with mediocrity, then that's on the fans.
Yeah, that's on the fans. Mike Brown does not care.
That's on. If they're satisfied with mediocrity, then the fans of the Cincinnati Bengals need to stop showing up.
Sure.
They'll make some changes then.
How much, guys, of all of these, and Tony, I'll throw this at you, of all these reports we hear, right, Vance Joseph, permission to by the Broncos, and this guy in Denver, and this guy in San Diego, is this all agent-driven that we're hearing? Is that where it comes from?
All agent driven, yeah. I think that's a majority of it, right? You want to get your client out there. You want to get him a name talked about. You see so many times, again, and I think this was part of the Buffalo Bill overreaction to their offensive coordinator, right? All of a sudden, he's being rumored, and we're going to move Rex Ryan and see what this guy got.
Right.
I really think that the agents definitely control these type of environments.
I think so, too. You want to hear – so it's almost like Anthony Lynn, right? Perfect example. We heard late last night San Francisco is interested in talking to Anthony Lynn. And then maybe L.A. is interested in talking to Anthony Lynn. That's got to be agent-driven. So the Bills are like, oh, crap, we better go sign this guy before he gets out, right? Like, that has to be what it's for.
I think a lot of that type of posturing is definitely in place here when you come to these head coaching searches because these agents have been through it before, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn is my guy. I don't have nobody else.
Right.
So he's been through other coaching changes. He's dealt with other general managers, other owners and stuff like that, trying to find the right position for his guy. So it's easy to go out there, hey, let's leak this story and see how Buffalo bites.
Well, and I go back to even last year with the Giants, right? Like, there was a story out there that Ben McAdoo was the quote-unquote the favorite for the Eagles job. He was going to go interview his second interview with the Eagles on Friday. Next thing you know, within an hour, he's the head coach of the Giants, right? Like, he got nervous. It was a wonderful job by the organization and really by the Eagles putting the pressure on the Giants to make that decision, whether it's true or not. And I think we see that constantly. So, Scott, we say all the time we can't necessarily trust coaches and we cannot trust what they say. And I feel almost the same way right now, kind of like draft season, where we don't want to trust anything we're hearing about who they're interested in the draft because when we're in Coaches Connected, who knows how truthful that is and how serious that interest is in that particular coach.
Yeah, like you're talking about, you know, is it plants by agents?
Yeah,
you know,
things, by teams, sure.
Things like that. So you can't... Yeah, it's fun to speculate, but you know, we really can't speculate about, you know, how it's going to change a team or a player until we know something for sure.
Corey, we all talked about this a little bit yesterday, and we're seeing Vance Joseph connected everywhere, right? And you brought this up. How much about him and Dave Tube, the special teams coordinator here in Kansas City, you've heard bandied about a little bit. How much is that just Rooney Rule? Like, how are we able to differentiate what is a real head coaching and a Rooney Rule interview?
When you interview somebody on the staff that's already there,
okay,
that's likely a Rooney Rule interview. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I mean, get Tom. Hey, buddy. You know what I'm saying? Right. A lot of work you're doing.
We saw that in Washington.
As the quality control guy.
We saw that in Washington. Yeah. Like, there's a guy in Washington bit the bullet before Jay Gruden, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. That happened. That situation like that. When you those inside ones are almost likely just, you know, pomp and circumstance. But I think with the guys,
Vance Joseph, Terrell Austin, like, how do we know about if those are real ones or not?
Now these can also be looked at as Rooney Rule, and you know, just to satisfy the rule. But I still think they're good interviews. I still think it's a good chance to make an impression. I still think it's a good chance to open up work down the line for yourself. So that's how I look at those situations. So we saw Terrell get some work, get some action, get some interest last season. Also, you know, Vance Joseph is a name that's been popped around a little bit before. So as they move along through the process, I think you'll see more and more hires as more and more people get to know them and know their resume and their history and hear their names more. But so I think those are legit. The ones that are in-house, when you're just interviewing the guy that's on the staff, those are definitely what I would say is a getting over on the rule.
Tony, how much? So that's a real conversation. But what about just? And I hate to say this, but looks and posture. How much does that have to do with it, right? Like, because Vance Joseph's a guy that went from a D-backs coach to defensive coordinator 1 year, and now he's a serious head coach in Gannon. Anthony Lynn went from a running backs coach to an offensive coordinator within two games, and now he's a head coach in Gannon here. How much, these guys, they look the part, right? They're serious. They have a great aura. How much is that when a guy like Matt Patricia, who's been a defensive coordinator for New England for years, looks the way he does, and, you know, he said he struggled to get some interviews. How much is that involved in this process?
Oh, it's huge. I've always said that the head coach, and I don't care what the sport anymore, is you're a CEO, right? You have coaches that coach, and you basically take care of the plays, the interviews, and making sure everybody shows up on time. Now, Matt Patricia has a bigger problem than people because people don't believe he coaches the defense for New England. They think Bill Belichick's got his hands in the whole thing. And so Matt Patricia's got to fight against that. But I think everyone's become a CEO that's there, and that's why I couldn't believe Rex Ryan got a job.
Right. Well, Rex Ryan, remember, he gets the job. He immediately almost has surgery to lose the weight. He's vested up, like, looking good. His brother's the one with the long hair, and even when he's a successful defensive coordinator for a short period of time.
Yeah, but he still opens his mouth.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Every time he opens his mouth, he doesn't seem like a CEO, right?
No, he does not. And that was, you know, eventually that was his downfall. So.
Well, the one I always, like you said, this is a position that is.
Jason Garrett looks like a very professional
Jason
man.
Jason Garrett,
know?
Yeah, exactly. You have to look the part. Sure. And this is one of the reasons why I think Patrick Ewing, and I hate to change sports,
right?
Why Patrick Ewing doesn't have a job as.
Well, Tony said this last week. Like, all these centers really have trouble getting these jobs.
Because they're 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Seriously,
it's kind of awkward. You know what I mean?
The service, all they don't. A lot of them don't speak well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not trying to, you know.
No, I feel what you're saying. So, you know, it makes it more difficult. So if you have the chops and you look the role, like a lot of these gentlemen like Lennon and Joseph doing stuff like that, it makes things a little bit easier. But why not hire a 7-footer? Why not hire, you know, what's the dude name in New England?
Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia. Yeah. I didn't know if it was Patricia Matt.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. One last coaching note before we get some other NFL headlines here. We'll do it before the top of the hour on the Road to Experts in the Morning. So one job that's been eerily silent, we talked about it a little yesterday, is in Indianapolis, Chuck Pagano, Ryan Grigson. No word yet on what's going on there. So there's one obvious reason why, I think, to me at least. Scott, do you think that Jim Irsay is waiting to fire Chuck Pagano because the only guy he wants to replace Chuck Pagano is Jim Harbaugh? And he is trying to get Harbaugh out of Michigan to come coach his college quarterback and Andrew Luck, come to Indianapolis. And one of the reasons he has not fired Pagano yet is because he's trying to get this backroom deal done with Harbaugh.
I honestly haven't looked enough into that situation to give you an accurate comment.
Well, I just made it up, that's why.
You just made it up,
yes.
So I don't know, I think it's more on you then, you know, is that what you believe?
Well, yeah, that's why I brought it up. I do believe that, 100%. I think that Harbaugh, who just finished year 3 in Michigan, I think he wants to come back to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I think that ultimately he will. Now, Michigan fans seem to think that he's not going anywhere quite yet. Well, he just finished his second season in Michigan? I don't know, second.
That Michigan job, that's a load. That's a big contract right there.
It's great. Mm-hmm. But Jim Irsay's got plenty of money, and you're not necessarily going to get a better spot than in Indy. I'll give you control of the roster. I'll give you Andrew Luck back. You do you, man.
That's the thing. If I go into Indianapolis, I want
everything.
Me and general manager on the same page in rebuilding this roster. Because Indianapolis, you can turn that around. You can turn that around quick because you got, in my opinion, the it quarterback in the NFL. Yeah, you may not say that because you don't see these big, you know, the Aaron Rodgers and the Tom Brady's and these guys in the playoffs and playing deep into it. But Aaron Rodgers is, in my opinion, pound for pound, the most talented guy in the NFL right now. And he's stuck behind a shit show. You feel what I'm saying? So a guy like Harbaugh, I think that's intriguing to him. It makes sense, Greg, but, you know, getting away from Michigan, that Michigan job is going to be tough to do.
So I agree with that, especially because it is his alma mater. And I just look, Tony, this guy wants another shot at the NFL, which I truly believe he does. He's going to go in the perfect situation, all right? And I understand the offensive line in Indianapolis is brutal. I understand they totally forget about the defense and to improve the defense constantly. But how many shots is Harbaugh going to have to go back to the NFL with a quarterback in his prime like Andrew Luck? Maybe if it isn't this year, maybe it'll be next year. This seems like the job for Harbaugh. No?
I don't think he wants to go back. Okay. The tough thing to do is he moved his parents out there, and his father actually has an office in the Michigan Athletic Department. How do you kick your father out?
Right.
I don't think he wants to go back. I think he's actually there. Yeah, his dad has an office in the Michigan Athletic Department. I think he's there for life.
Yeah, we always talk about these guys that, you know, we want them to come back or should they come back, and especially you hear Gruden and Cowher like all the time. It's like these guys might never come back.
Those guys aren't coming back.
Yeah.
I think Harbaugh, who is younger, still coaching in the game, I think he does. So I think Harbaugh to Indianapolis, it's not a matter of if. It's in my opinion, it's a matter of when. Come back! And what we do, we'll talk about another college coach. His name's Chip Kelly. I'll talk and explain next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Corey Parsons, Scott Engel, and so he's got it. Talking a lot about these head coaching vacancies. And one that is vacant is in San Francisco because Chip Kelly fired after his first year in San Francisco.
Sacrificial lamb out there.
Yeah, he was. He was. Absolutely. And we all have assumed, and probably rightfully so, that Chip Kelly will wind up back in college where he's most successful, right? He's got a vanilla offense. Go recruit the best guys. They fit your system. You'll blow everyone out, you know, score 60 points a game.
You lose to Alabama in the final.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll get there. Get paid a lot of money. But Chip Kelly says, listen, I don't want to go back to college. I want to stay in the NFL. He says he is willing to be an offensive coordinator. He is willing to, you know, be an assistant coach because he believes, you know, his offensive mind will work in the National Football League. If you're an owner with a offensive coordinator opening or a coach with an offensive coordinator opening, or you are a coach that is building your staff, we have six staffs, right, that are open right now. Couple offensive coordinator posts, like the Jets, for instance. Would you hire Chip Kelly as your offensive coordinator, Scott?
I'd probably say no. I mean, we've seen what this guy has done, you know, with the teams he's been with. It doesn't seem like the biggest problem I had with Kelly, and I said he was going to get fired after year one coming in because he forces people into his system rather than looking at the talents of his players. We don't talk about the names of assistant coaches and position coaches who have done a fine job around the league, who are probably more qualified than Chip Kelly to do this. I just feel like, you know, he's not a good judge of personnel. He has a system, and I don't think he's necessarily a good evaluator of talent at the NFL level and how it fits. I personally wouldn't be an endorser of it.
Tony, could you see Chip Kelly becoming the next, let's say, Todd Haley or Wade Phillips or North Turner or something like that?
No, there's a couple things there. One is his style, right? He's definitely
right.
A guy that's all about him. So that's going to be tough for a head coach to put him underneath. Secondly, the problem is the amount of plays they've run. I remember when LeSean McCoy called him out and said, hey, I am never going to make it through the season without an injury playing this amount of plays and this type of style. So his style doesn't work either in this format. So I really don't see what he has to offer an NFL team.
I think he's innovative. I would continue to employ him in the NFL, but you have to be very strict with him, you know, on your staff. Like, listen, you cut the foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Running side to side. You know, you can't pick the players. Don't run the good players away. I think you can work with him, and I think you can probably see and probably get some success, but I agree with Tony that Chip Kelly is such an ego that he's not going to be able to conform, ultimately making it a bad idea. But if you was to get him in a situation where he has to go by the rules. Listen, you're an offensive coordinator. This is what we got. These are the pieces in place. Forget your system. Scheme around the talent that we got right here, and then we'll take it from there.
How do you believe he's innovative? How do you believe he's innovative?
As far as the diet, the way he the diet, the training, the way they practice, things like that, I think is innovative in coaching.
I don't disagree, right? I don't.
Does that make him a coordinator, though?
It makes him an interesting NFL mind.
So I think
football mind.
So I think he's an interesting NFL mind. But
I don't disagree with that. But I don't know if it makes him a coordinator.
So I think if in order to be a coordinator, he has to be hired by a coach that, number one, isn't fearful that Chip Kelly's going to be after his job immediately, which I think is very tough, right?
Right.
A two-time head coach that clearly has NFL coaching aspirations again. With an offense that has not worked, I mean, in Philadelphia, he traded away all his best players. All of them.
Yeah, for no reason.
And the Eagles then just, a year later, reverted to everything they had.
They went right back to what they were.
Correct. Did you know, though, by the Eagles, when I read this, that Sam Bradford actually had a better year than Carson Wentz? I didn't realize this, but Bradford did. I bet you knew that, Tony, because you're a big Bradford guy. Sam Bradford had a better year than Carson Wentz this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bradford was the number one completion percent in the history of football.
Yeah. So, and with that being said, speaking of Bradford, Mike Zimmer has said, listen, Sam Bradford's done enough to be our starting quarterback going forward.
Yeah.
What do you think about
that, Corey? There's no doubt in my mind that I was always going to be.
Yeah, we said that, Tony, before the season started. There's a good chance that would happen.
When you have a first-round pick, yeah. I mean, I think that they were going for this long-term.
Is the kid washed up? What's the latest on him? Because I would stick with the kid if I know he's going to be healthy, which is very tough to do. I mean, we've never seen this footage of this injury or anything like that. And we see him sitting on the sideline every now and then. But it's like, oh, hey, yo, he might not be ready ever again. So I think, I don't know. No, this is Teddy Bridgewater's job if he's healthy.
Well, Mike Zimmer says it's not. Mike Zimmer's the coach.
Yeah, well then.
What has Teddy Bridgewater done to earn the fact like you don't lose your job?
What has Sam Bradford done?
Well, he had a good year. Hmm? He's a highest completion percentage in NFL history.
He threw the ball four times.
Well, he completed those passes.
Yeah, I'm not that impressed. The Minnesota Vikings offense was impressive.
Nobody, hold on. Teddy Bridgewater. See, you just defeated yourself.
Well, here's the thing.
Teddy Bridgewater had the lowest completion attempts in all of the league the 1 year he played quarterback.
Yeah, the one year. We've seen Sam Bradford's time and time again.
No, you're killing Sam Bradford on the number of throws, yet this guy threw the ball even less.
No, I get what you're saying.
My question was, has he done so far to have that luxury
what
of saying,
he, what
our injury
he,
doesn't take away your
what
job?
What chances he had?
He started for a full season.
He started for a season. They didn't even give him the play. They didn't open up the playbook for him.
14-9.
They didn't even let him throw the football.
Because he couldn't handle what he was doing. He had 9 interceptions and 14 touchdowns.
But that's not. But he took the team. He had the team on the brink of beating Seattle in the wild card game last year ago.
I think you credit that to the defense. Alex.
They led the drive. Down the field to get them in the
ring. So you're telling me that
as a matter of fact, he also put them back. And then they come back from behind in that game.
They scored 9 points. They didn't even score a touchdown.
Yeah. Well, Seattle didn't either.
Sam Bradford had more passing attempts than Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, and Matt Ryan.
You can't win with. You're not. What are you going to win with Sam Bradford? See, Sam Bradford's not a winner.
I'm going to win with Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater's still a young player. We don't know what Teddy Bridgewater can be. Now the injury is what makes it scary. But you know, for Mike Zimmer to come out and say that, that's intriguing.
I don't think Bridgewater has shown him anything where.
What has Bridgewater shown anybody?
Nothing, really.
Because he hasn't had a chance.
He started for a full year.
One year as a starter makes that's a chance.
I'm saying
1 year as a starter,
but he hasn't earned the luxury of saying, okay, you know, you get your job back when you're healthy. He hasn't played well enough for that.
I also think that, like, what is the harm in doing this, right? Like, if Bridgewater, I think it's actually less pressure on Bridgewater to rush back. Like, the other starter, let him do his thing. If it takes him another year, fine. You know, I think...
Yeah.
I don't think this statement, essentially, really means all that much. If Bradford had a good year, he's our starter going forward. We'll worry about next year. Next year.
They're not going to go nowhere with Sam Bradford.
He was not the problem this year. Sam Bradford was not their problem this year.
I just don't like the... when has Sam Bradford ever done anything? When have you seen Sam Bradford make a play?
Well, he made 71% of them this year.
That's the completion percentage that he done. That's his completion percentage. That's not making a play when stepping up as a quarterback and making a play when your team needs it.
I don't know. He made Adam Thielen all of a sudden a receiver.
Yeah, Adam Thielen looked good. I would go in on that next year.
He's a free agent, Adam Thielen.
He is.
How much money that guy makes? Probably not much.
What season is he going into?
I don't know. He's an undrafted dude, so I don't know how long that contract's for.
Yeah,
right?
Undrafted guy. 40 days.
Yeah, pretty much. So Sam Bradford here was, what, the 23rd ranked quarterback in fantasy this year?
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying, Corey, that if you're the Dallas Cowboys, forget the season they had this year. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, you see Sam Bradford on the other side of the field for you 2 minutes to go.
Oh, I'm not worried about that.
Not even remotely.
I know.
Not worried about Bridgewater either.
Agree. Yeah. Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think Corey's point is just that Sam Bradford, like, why are you calling this guy the guy when he's not nothing special, basically?
Yeah, it's nothing special about Sam Bradford for you to go out here and say, oh, he's going to be the starter going forward. He's Sam Bradford.
Is there something special, Scotty, about Derek Carr? Derek Carr broke his leg out for the year, most likely. Also admitted yesterday, because all these guys, you know, coming through with their injuries afterwards, that he didn't sprain his pinky or dislocate his pinky. He broke it. And that entire last few games where his accuracy was off and the offense sputtered a little bit, he played with that broken pinky. Do you think that was kind of why the numbers went south for him the last few games?
I could see it, you know, him not being healthy, you know, not playing up to his usual standards. It seemed like a lot of these Raiders, like, you know, come out and admit their injuries, like, after
Mark
the
Cooper.
Year. Yeah. And when you see guys like Matt McGloin come in, you know, you have to wonder if the Raiders are going to contend, you know, and if Carr gets hurt, you know, do you want to have a better backup than say, Matt McGloin, you know?
So, well, they thought McGloin was a fine backup. I mean, they also drafted Connor Cook in the fourth round last year. They think
he
could
develop. Might be smart. You know, Cook is still young, but, you know, McGloin is like, you know, real ham and egger type, and I don't know if you could win a playoff game with him. It's like, I'd rather have Matt Moore than Matt McGloin.
Well, they didn't have the option of having Matt Moore, you know?
I'm just saying this. I wonder if there's better backups out there for the Raiders than Matt McGloin. Hopefully we'll see Connor Cook do something inspiring this weekend, or at least adequate.
Well, Matt McGloin, the reason that they kept him around as a backup, like, he was okay. Wasn't he, like, not atrocious as a starter? Did I make that up? Let's see here.
What's who's that? Matt McGloin?
Yeah.
So, eight touchdowns, eight interceptions.
2013 is your starting. All right.
I think it was seven games he started.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Completed 56% of his passes. I guess it could be worse, right? All right. I don't know. Okay. Well, he's got the Connor Cook, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Speaking of coaches and offensive coordinators and stuff, surprisingly, Corey, the Ravens kept Marty Morningweg. After the offensive year they had, they announced Dean Pease is coming back, the special teams coordinator coming back, and most interestingly enough, Morningweg. Well, the Jets fired everybody, but Chan Gailey retired. Morningweg is kept on staff. Now, this offense never got going. They fired one offensive coordinator, went to this guy, and are you surprised they kept him?
Yeah. I'm not so much surprised because of Flacco coming back off the injury, getting set up with that. Still issues on the offensive line that improved as the season went on. They still had mismatch, no real situation that you can lean on at running back, aging wide receiver crew. So I think the personnel was more of the problem than the head coach, more than the coordinator.
Okay. I think that this is a shock to me. Because the head coach said we want to run the ball more. They make the change because Trestman wasn't running the ball at all. Morningweg did the same thing. And now they're keeping this guy. I don't get this move, Tony.
I think he's well respected, though, in the NFL. And we keep seeing the same coaches getting recycled. And we were talking about, you know, the whole Jeff Fisher story. And this guy, Monty Morningway, is a guy that's always going to have a job in the National
Football League. It seems that way. It seems that way.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Tony says, there are certain guys who are always going to be employed somehow.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. Jamie.
The old boy network, they call it.
In a way.
Yeah. Good old boy network.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm just letting you know.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Yes. Monty Morningway has he has fake hair, too, for the people that care.
Really?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
I used to work with a guy with fake hair.
We did?
Yeah.
Do I know?
I went to see a doctor yesterday. He reminded me of him.
Yeah, you. Oh, yeah. You know him, Greg.
I just did that joke.
You and him used to have beef.
I think it was one-sided beef.
What do you mean you think it was one-sided?
I didn't even know I had beef until he told me we had beef.
Yeah, you had beef with him.
Who knew? What did I do? What did I do to piss him off?
That's always funny.
I don't know what you did to piss him off, Greg. You should examine yourself to figure out why you pissed off such a legendary figure.
I went to the doctor's office yesterday, like the new doctor we saw. Yeah. Like he reminded me a lot of that person.
Really?
Yeah. Was he a good? Were you impressed with him?
Yeah, he was very laid back, and you know, and like listened to everything you said, and gave good feedback. Well, you know, I can't tell you everything until I see an X-ray.
That sounds like him.
Yeah. That sounds like a different doctor.
Huh?
It does not sound like. I'm very confused who we're talking about now.
It's about your boy.
I got several boys, unfortunately.
Oh, he thought you meant Dr. Roto.
Yeah, I was. That's what I thought the joke was.
No, the joke's not about.
The doctor I saw yesterday reminded me of.
Of a legend.
Well,
in our
you said a doctor reminded. So I thought you were talking about Dr. Roto.
No.
I said a doctor I saw yesterday. He went to the doctor yesterday.
Yes, I thought the person you were talking about was Dr.
Roto. No.
I don't think he followed along.
Jesus Christ. Scott, I got it. I got the joke now. I understood.
What'd you have to go to the doctor for yesterday, Scott?
What?
You still having problems with, you know, maintaining?
No comment.
Talk about my personal business on the air.
Oh, whoa, but you don't give the damn address out. You talk about everybody else's personal business.
What does that have to do with it?
It's not personal business. You're talking
personal
about like
business,
TV
like
shows
private,
I watch.
Private
personally.
Business? Like,
it's private.
I don't, that's not making any sense, Corey.
How many blue pills did they give you?
Yeah, how many? He's not gonna tell.
No, Scotty actually. Scott's not telling anyone, but he actually went for Adderall after you.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he'll play some Madden with some Adderall, like I said.
Yes, you should take one of the Tout Wars.
Yeah. What is that? March?
March.
Where is that? Here?
I don't think they've decided on the venue yet.
Are you excited?
Yeah. Cool. Always look forward to that. It's a fun.
You could ask me that question off air. I could tell you.
I won't do that. Let's take a break.
All of a sudden, Tony's gonna like hide something for off air. It's like you know you'll bring
well,
it on
I
air.
Don't want to ruin. I don't want to ruin a business relationship just in case. Yeah, it's good. Wow. You know what I mean?
New turning over a new leaf in 2017.
Say it's four days in. Yeah. Tony's trying to keep his relationship. This is great.
This is good stuff.
This is good stuff, everybody.
Gosh, you need to turn another cheek too.
Oh yeah. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, I want to actually talk about something we don't normally talk about. It's actually a recruitment story, which I find really interesting. I want to get your guys' opinions on this because, Tony, I'm sure you feel strongly living in the a recruitment hotbed in Florida about these guys and these athletes and what they do and how they do it. But this is a really good story about Najee Harris. I explain on the other side of the break here on the Roto Experts. Here on the show, and there's always hoopla, right, surrounding recruitment. All these guys, like, they have these big announcements after major football games or high school games or basketball too. Like, they'll put the hat on and they fake it out. Like, some guys will put one hat on and they take the hat off and hey, I'm not really going to that school. And it's a big ego thing. All these guys have massive egos. Najee Harris is a really interesting one. He's the number one rated running back going into 2017, or is this year. And he wants to enroll this semester so he can play in September. He has previously been, for the last 2 years, committed to Alabama. But Michigan has been Michigan and Jim Harbaugh have been recruiting pretty hard recently. He doesn't have social media. So, you know, all these reporters and fans of these schools, they like incessantly search Twitter for information. They stalk these kids for sure. And they incessantly look for any update they can get. But he doesn't have a social media account on Twitter. He doesn't have the crazy Instagram. This kid came out and said, listen, I'm going to play in this. They have all these like All-American games for high school kids going on this week. Right? The Under Armour one was like Monday, and they got all these other ones. This kid, I guess, has one of these games this week, and he said, I'm going to play the game. I'm going to just fly to whatever school I've chosen, sign my letter of intent, and that's it, enroll. No announcement, no press conference, no interviews, reports. All I'm doing is I'm enrolling in school so I can go to school and then play football. Thought it was really interesting and a totally different dynamic than we are used to seeing here with all these college kids. Scotty, what do you make of that?
Yeah, he doesn't owe anything to anybody to really, like, you know, make some sort of press conference or, you know, huge announcement. You know, that just might be his personality where, you know, he's not looking for a lot of hoopla surrounding it, and he just wants to, I'm just going to show up where I'm going, and, you know, and that's it. You know, I think everybody's different. You know, you could paint a broad brush about, okay, these kids make all these announcements, but obviously for whatever reason, he wants to do it a different way. And that's, I think that's interesting. You know, maybe the way, like you put it, he just wants to focus on, I don't know a lot about the guy in terms of, you know, what his academic focus is, but you make it sound like, you know, he just wants to focus on his future. And, you know, he's doing what works for him.
I just so find it interesting, Corey, that today with all these athletes, they're all me guys.
Yeah. I wouldn't have did it like this.
You would have or would not have?
Oh, I would not have. No, I'd have been, I would have held the school's hostage. And I'd have been like, nah.
That's what all these guys
do. Yeah, exactly. I know, I'm going to play that game. I'm not going to let the NCAA, the most corrupt organization in sports, take advantage of me. It's not going to go down like that. But this young man seems like, you know, he's got his head on his shoulders. It seems like he's going out there. He wants to go to school, get his education first and foremost, play football. This is the type of guy, he can be on his way to the NFL, and he'll even play in the bowl game. So, looks like they got their hands on one of the top recruits. Now, what I don't understand is, I guess he did a verbal commitment
to Alabama,
Mm-hmm. But he didn't sign no paper, so now Harbaugh's trying to come in and scoop him up.
Yep.
Well, he. I mean, if that verbal commitment doesn't mean nothing like that, then you never know. He could be playing with, he can be showing Harbaugh a leg too, and he can end up going someplace else. So it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. But kudos to him. But me, I'd have been like, no, somebody would have got paid.
That's what also surprises me is that you talk about going to the NFL, right? A lot of these guys are almost short-sighted. In that, who knows if they'll get to the NFL, make the big money. This is their one opportunity to be the star, that everyone cares about them.
Yeah.
And they've had that their entire life in high school. When they're choosing their college, it is this massive, massive deal. And this kid doesn't care, Tony, which is just crazy to me.
No, it's a good thing, but it's definitely something different, especially when you're down here. And the verbal commitment's the craziest thing in the world. Why do people even give them? Because nobody sticks by them. Like, you see more and more people. Teams like colleges don't even respect it. They keep recruiting you, even though you've given your verbal commitment to the school.
That's another story that I wanted to bring up with this. They have given verbal commitments, right? And all as fans of schools, when we see a verbal commitment, we get all excited. It means shit.
No, exactly.
You have Jim. He's been verbally committed to Alabama for 2 years, and Jim Harbaugh still didn't stop.
Yeah, no doubt, and I agree. I don't understand it. I guess it's just pomp and circumstance at that point when you do the verbal commitments. I've had plenty of women verbally commit to me. Nothing. Didn't mean anything.
So you're saying it means nothing.
It's been plenty of women that verbally commit to other dudes, and I step right in and I recruit. Hmm. And, you know, and I land the top prospect.
Yes, of course.
I get prospect, Scott.
God, you're being very quiet this morning.
Yeah, what's wrong, Scotty?
Are you okay? What?
Everything all right?
What?
You know, a lot of malarkey.
Let's from him. Let's move on.
Now it's my yeah. fault. You've been quiet all morning.
I'm not been quiet. I comment when I'm. I'm gonna comment. You know.
Well, I just thought, like I said, I just thought this Najee Harris stuff is super interesting. Would you prefer, Scott, if you were a student, you were being recruited, would you honor your word?
I think that's the kind of guy I am, though. That's the way we built this business. You know?
Oh, boy.
It's, you know, you can't take it because I talk with more authenticity than you guys. Nonsense about talking.
Scott, I keep it all the way. I keep it all the way 100, Scotty. I keep it all the way 100.
You are a bunch of hype.
I keep it all the way 100. I keep it all the way 100.
You try to present an image. I'm about authenticity.
Yeah, okay.
You know, this is how we built. This is how we built this company. It's like, you got to be a person of your word. It's like, it's you know, that's you know, your word is your character.
Sure.
You know, your word is your currency. Sure. So
the University of Michigan, the University of Alabama, are, let me tell you something, they don't care about their word when it comes to dealing with these athletes. That's my thing.
Well, the NCAA is corrupt, like you said.
You had,
if I'm not going to make a verbal commitment to something, me personally. If I don't intend to me, like a verbal commitment is like, that means I would put it in ink too.
So I think you're not allowed to put it in ink till a certain day.
I remember that when I was going to hunt for real estate recently, like somebody said to me, said, well, I don't have a signature from you. How do I know you're going to commit to this? And I'm like, I'm not going to give you my word if I don't intend to sign on the dotted line.
I think it's interesting. I just find it so interesting that the way he's doing it, and I agree, like, I think you verbally commit, you're committed, right? Like, you're a man of your word. Your word is oak, as they say in Jerry Maguire. It's a great movie. I just find it so damn interesting that, like, in today's day and age, these kids do it
emphatically,
yeah, right?
Uh-huh. No, I'd have had mine on a boat.
Of course you would.
Yeah, I'd have had mine on a boat, and me and the whole crew would have had our shirts off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how I would have did it. And then
Tony, how would you do it?
I would. I hate the whole hat thing and having a press conference for a high school kid on whether what school he's going to go to, and that whole extravagance. Like, we wonder why these guys get so crazy about it. That I would actually just pick a school and go there and show up. Just that's very similar to what we were talking about the kid earlier. I think that's the way to go. And if I was a high school athletic director, I wouldn't allow that to happen in my gym. I wouldn't allow that to that whole festivities take place on a high school campus.
Why not, Tony? That's a good look for the high school, too. The local news comes to town. The local news comes to your high school. They put the cameras on. Your high school's on the evening news. I think the athletic department would like that for the high school.
Well, I mean, it's a high school, right? It's about going there to get an education, not taking one hat off, putting another hat on, putting it there. I think the whole thing's crazy. I remember when Pat Ewing actually was recruited. He chose Georgetown, right? Yep. That was done in his living room with about four guys sitting there, and no TV cameras and nothing. And I don't know.
No, I think Pat,
like a better way back then.
I think Pat was on TV. Pat and Jarvis Landry went to a ball up there.
Mike Jarvis
went to a ball. Pat and Mike, they did it. I can remember Michael Wilbon wrote a story about it. This is when Michael Wilbon had, you know, was a young Michael Wilbon. He still had hair.
Sure.
He had did a story about it. Because that was like one of the first big, you know, signings we ever seen. Patrick Ewing was an incredible high school athlete. People would come from all over the country to see Patrick Ewing play, but nobody thought he was going to go to Georgetown.
Right.
Everybody thought he was going to go to Boston College, something else. Sure. Georgetown was a shock. Like,
yeah.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah. Interesting.
So, right. I don't know. I don't know. That's a corrupt organization, too.
Georgetown?
Yeah.
Really? But John Thompson, like, ran it.
He runs it. You know, he running straight up as far as recruiting and stuff like that go. But John Thompson is, you know, John Thompson is about John Thompson.
He's a me guy?
John's a big time me guy. He still is.
Interesting. Was JT3 a me guy?
JT3 is just there.
He's just a guy.
He's the face.
Because he's JT3.
He's the face of it.
Yeah.
Right. He's the face of it. That's it. But Big John still runs that ship.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break
Him
here.
And David Falk and all of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, David Falk's one of our boys.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I heard a story. I'll tell you in the break.
Tell me during the break.
One of our boys.
Yeah.
What is that? What field is that? Are they to be one of your boys? Because I look at you and Sussman, I don't think you're a lot alike.
No. What I like? Corey and I aren't alike. We're friends.
No. Well, I mean, everybody's friends, but
I'm not everybody's friends.
I see you traveling.
I'm just friends with Corey.
We
have hung out of work.
Yeah, we was in Philadelphia that time. We was drunk as a skunk that night.
Yeah, we were.
And then we do the Emmy. We do the soon to be Emmy award winning next week in fantasy.
We do that. We have lunch together. Tell me, we're friends.
How are you going to submit that for an Emmy?
I don't know.
You don't worry about it, Scotty.
I don't know. You used to do a show with Adam Ronis. I don't think he hung out with you too much. So I can't.
I like to think I'm friends with everybody.
Adam Ronis was a different guy, though. Oh, it's a new one up there today. You seen her?
Take a break. Come back. And we'll see the discussion we had at the end of yesterday's show about average, OBP, and that kind of stuff in baseball. So stick around. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Returning here on the Roto Experts. Corey Parsons.
This is groovy right here.
I like this one.
I don't know what the hell Florio
Michael Florio, welcome back, man. Spent a couple of days without our boy, Michael Florio.
Where was he at? Florio, where were you at?
Monday I took off, coming off of New Year's Eve weekend. I also had a family thing to go to that day. And yesterday, because I do the show Monday nights, I come in a little bit later on Tuesdays.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, you cool with that?
I mean, no, I just want to make sure that Florio was all right. Scott's coming back.
Scott's coming back.
Scott the King is coming back.
He's the King!
Remember, I told you how good-looking Shorty in the lobby was. Scott had to go check it out. What do you think, Scott?
I had to go to the restroom.
Did you look at the girl?
I said hello to the hostess like I always do.
You didn't see that she was attractive?
I didn't go out there with the same intentions that you would.
Oh, well, that's right.
She's sturdy.
Yeah, Scott, I have good intentions, Scott.
For yourself.
No, Scott, I'm a male. I seen her. I was like, oh, this is a new gal. And she was good looking, so whatever. I see a good looking gal, I'm going to comment on it.
You're a bloodhound.
Huh?
You're a bloodhound.
I'm a male, Scott. That's called being a red blooded male.
I don't see Greg going out there and doing that. It's like Greg doesn't sit here and go, wow, look at that. Who's that girl on TV? Yeah.
It's a girl on TV.
Don't do that either. Right?
Scott, when you say it sounds kind of creepy, you got to be honest.
What's
it
that?
It was a little creepy there.
What?
When you was like, hey, look at that girl on TV.
That's what Corey does.
Hey, let me ask you fellas this question right here. I'd heard something. Oh, this is not.
We're hanging out.
Nothing really to do with sports related. Hey, so would you like say me? I don't want to use nobody I know.
You can change the name to protect the innocent.
Like okay, Todd put it Zola. Like this. Yeah. So use Todd Zola. I know Todd Zola is a good idea. So say like Todd Zola. Let's just in an imaginary world, Todd Zola has like this smoking hot girlfriend, right?
Okay.
Yeah, this is a good story now.
So, you know, every year they come up, tout wars, whatever the case may be. He's like, everybody's like, oh, Todd, this is your girlfriend. And Todd's like, yeah, you know, Big Daddy still got it. So, Todd Zola and the woman break up, right? Mm-hmm. You and Todd Zola are boys, fantasy guys, hang out, have a couple drinks, come on the show, talk a little sports, whatever the case may be. I don't know. You've been to his house for a cookout. He come through for, you know, whatever you have.
You guys are cool, yeah.
Yeah, you're cool. Yeah. You're homies.
Yeah.
Him and the woman break up.
Right.
She starts to make a advance towards you. Is it okay to date her?
I think by the book, yeah, it is. You know, because she's free and she's single now and there's nothing.
What book?
Tying him to him. Like, you know, the book saying, you know, she's not married or, you know, nothing like that.
Yeah,
she's not going out with him. Like, the book of respect, you know what I'm saying? By that letter, you know, it's like she's not with anybody, sure, she can go with you. But then you get into, you know, how does your friend feel about it if he's insecure? If he should be cool with it, too, by everything that's like, you know.
So if Todd that, is cool
everything
with
is
it.
Correct. He's cool with it, but a lot of times if a guy sees you with a girl that he broke up with and he's not happy himself at the time, hasn't landed anybody else, he could be insecure about it. It could lead to some bad feelings between the two of you because he's feeling insecure. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think, Tone?
I think, no. She would, and I hate to say this, she would have to be the hottest looking girl in the world for you to do that because you're not going to come out looking good in this. You can't go with a buddy's girl, ex girlfriend there, and you're going to, your relationship's going to suffer with that guy no matter what he says or what he is. He's not telling the truth because eventually it's going to piss him off.
Yeah, he's going to be insecure about it. It's some core of your being.
Is it really
be insecure?
Is it really like, you know, you
it
tried
is.
To play
it is.
Me.
It's just looking like no. Not that you tried to play me. It's
no,
like
I think it's you tried to play
you,
me.
You were able yeah. to please her, and I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? I'm
this
not talking in a physical way necessarily either.
But what I'm saying is, like,
she's happy with you. She wasn't happy with me. That makes me feel as bad about myself.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
that's why I've been.
But
going
I don't
with
think
this.
You should eat as a like it's like the Derek Fisher Matt Barnes thing. I don't think it's a dude.
Yeah,
that's like the bro code. No. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You shouldn't even go
breaking
there.
Breaking the code of honor among men.
Yeah. You shouldn't even go there. Like it's plenty of fish in the sea.
Exactly.
You know something happened with you and your wife. I'm not gonna be, you know, sitting in your house the next week talking about Sean, bring me a beer. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I doubt that would happen in any scenario though.
If Todd Zola was hit by a bus, I wouldn't want to leave the girl lonely.
Yeah, but then that could lead to a
when
sexual
encounter.
When
somebody moves on to the next dimension.
Speaking of moving on to the next dimension.
Greg, your opinion.
I want to talk about average and OBP as I asked, as we wrap.
Greg. It was on my mind.
I appreciate it.
Are you
in
a situation like this right now, Corey?
No, I'm not. But I was. It's something. I found out something the other day that kind of was like, wow, that's crazy.
All right.
I didn't want to name the particulars. It's, you know, people that y'all might not know.
Anyway, so we talked about this yesterday at the end of the show, guys. How important average is in fantasy baseball? And oh, you're laughing at
somebody just texted me a picture of Todd Zola.
And we named the guys who had these high averages. And I asked you the question if we should be playing in OBP leagues going forward. And Scott, we had like 30 seconds to give your opinion. So I wanted to open that discussion back up to you, Scotty.
Yeah.
If general managers and owners care so much less about average now, more about on-base percentage, for instance, shouldn't we as fantasy players adapt as well? Like, in the NFL, we have adapted to point per reception leagues because receptions matter more, right?
Yeah.
Should we not adapt to fantasy baseball as well?
I think we've been doing that, you know, over the past decade or so, maybe decade plus. I don't think it matters what baseball does, necessarily. It's like, what fits the fantasy game the best? And I think, you know, labor was like that first expert league, and you know you had your standard 5x5. Tout Wars tried to be more progressive. Plus, you're seeing, you know, people playing in everything from 6x6 to 9x9. You know what fits best, and on base percentage, you're talking about when a guy you know walks. You talk about his batting eye, his plate discipline. So you're getting deeper, and we talk about fantasy football. And we've had a lot of discussions on this channel. Let's add more stats. And we say, in the end, I say, well, we don't think the mainstream will catch on to it. With fantasy baseball, let's be honest, there's less of a mainstream. Everybody who plays fantasy baseball, I believe, is on some sort of expert level. Otherwise, they can't compete.
Right.
So what makes the game more realistic? How can we advance the game? You don't look at that in football. In baseball, you say, how can we advance the game? For me, on-base percentage was a natural progression in Tout Wars. For me, the next big one is everybody talks about you can't chase wins. What about quality starts?
Yeah, I'm glad you got back to this. I forgot about this, Scotty.
Yep.
Scotty, I agree in principle with what Scott says, but I don't agree in how it's put in. Scott, do you know what a quality start is?
Yeah. I'll get the exact definition up for you, but it's like
when a pitcher pitches
a certain amount of innings.
So I play quality starts.
Yeah.
I don't know it off the top of my head,
it's, but I know it.
It's at least six innings pitch, three earned runs.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I knew that.
Or less.
I didn't want to quote it because I didn't know whether it was six or seven. I knew it was the three.
Yeah.
So you know what that means? That's a 4.5 ERA.
Yep.
That's a joke in today's baseball.
I say, what's quality about that?
It can't be quality starts. We have to lower.
That's valid, Tony.
But I agree with what you're saying.
In principle, you agree with what I say. We don't have to go with quality starts just because baseball does it.
Yeah.
You know, what is a stat that would reflect a pitcher's solid performance without attaching it to the win?
Right, we need to come out with a updated quality start because
I mean we got Jake Seeley coming out with new stats all the time. You know, it's like people like that and FanGraphs. Yeah. Is there something like an advanced quality start that we can create?
There are different metrics that haven't been accepted as of yet, but that's what we need. We need to get somewhere around 3.5 or less. That would be a quality start. And figure that one out and change that.
What's a fantasy quality start as opposed to a real quality start?
Well, even a real quality start, I think what we have is a lot like the average in the on-base percentage, is that we're just getting accustomed to certain things in baseball.
Right.
A held to the highest standards and tradition that we keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Because baseball is a game of tradition.
Well, it's not even that. I think fantasy is a game of tradition, right? Like, we talked about this before, Scotty. You have a lot of trouble moving things on in your league, right? Like, getting changes passed that, like, a lot of people do. Like, I've talked about in my leagues, like, to get no kickers when I don't believe kickers should be in there, like, to get
that
passed.
I'm not saying in my leagues. I'm saying I hear a lot for a lot of listeners and users like, well, why are you playing in week 17? Or why are you doing this?
Right.
Because we've done it that way forever.
Sure. That's a fine example as well. Yeah.
That's
fantasy is a game where we're just stuck in our traditions. And I feel like OVP and average are a great example, in my opinion, of something that should be changed, that like we should kind of move on into the future with.
I think we've seen the movement already in that direction.
And I wonder if it should be...
Nando DeFino's very against it. He hates on-base percentage.
Good for Nando.
Well, I've got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Does fantasy baseball, is it supposed to emulate real baseball? Or is it its own unique game?
I think it's its own unique game. I mean, we're talking about, you know, we don't have two catchers on the field. You know, we don't have five outfielders.
Right.
We don't have 23-man rosters playing all at once. You know, I think it's an adaption. It's a game unto itself.
Sure. And I think that's fair. But not everybody necessarily plays those particular style. I play in a league where it's very simple. One catcher, three outfielders.
Yeah.
We play utility spots, yes. But everything else is we always have looked at it like real baseball in a way, like the general managers of teams and whatever, and like we counted what we thought was important statistics, and OBP became one of those things.
Right.
And another one, before I get to another one, I do want to ask you guys a question, and I'll let you think about it during the break. There were seven guys. We talked about average yesterday, right? I wanted you to name all the guys that had 300 averages last year. There were seven guys that had OBPs of 400 or more.
Right.
Mm.
I want you to think about that. And answer me.
And then I got another additional stat category when we come back, too.
As do I. I'm going to get to that. So stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. Gave you some time to think about it there during the break. There are seven men that have batted OBPs over 400. Guys, I'm going to want my fantasy team this year. Scotty, I start with you.
What the hell are we listening to?
Mm-hmm.
That was horrible.
It's kind of groovy, actually.
I didn't hate it.
I liked it.
Yeah, that's fine. All right, Scotty, can you name one?
Joey Votto.
Joey Votto's number two overall, 434. That is correct.
That's like a given every year, right?
Sure, it's very easy. I agree with you. Corey Parson.
Fred Freeman.
Freddie Freeman is correct. Exactly 400.
On the nose.
On the nose. What do you think of Freddie Freeman this year, Tone?
The ballpark I'm interested in, Atlanta, right? So we have a new ballpark, so we don't know how that's going to play. Used to be a big defensive ballpark. This is a guy that played last year with a hand injury through much of the first season and first half of the season and put together a good year. I like him, and I think the offense is way better than they've been in the past. The only problem is you look in that division, right? People forget about the unbalanced schedule. You play 19 games against the Nationals, great pitching staff, 19 games against the Mets, everybody's telling great pitching staff, and then you have some great pitcher-friendly ballparks. I like him. I don't go crazy for him.
Fair enough. The stats actually better.
I'll be in on.
You're in on Freddie
Freeman.
Yeah,
I'm in on Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman's got a nice floor.
Okay.
You know, it's,
last year's stats are very good.
Yeah.
34 home runs, 91 ribbies with a 400 OBP.
Even if he dipped
good
from that, you know you're going to get a good 25 bombs.
Yeah, right. All right. Tony, can you name somebody else with a 400 OBP?
David Ortiz.
That's correct. Can't pick him, though, because he's not playing baseball anymore. But yeah, David Ortiz at 401.
No.
Scotty.
Mike Trout.
Number one overall, the MVP, 441. We know that you agreed he should be the MVP.
No.
Still haven't given up on that one right there, huh?
I don't think an MVP should come from a losing team.
All right, three more to go, Corey.
Andrew McCutchen.
Andrew McCutchen is not correct.
Oh.
McCutchen did not have a good year last year. So,
I'm sorry.
Okay, buddy.
I know one.
Josh Donaldson.
That's correct. Number five, Josh Donaldson finished with a 404 OBP. He was the MVP 2 years ago. Had a good year last year. 37 home runs, 99 ribbies. How will Josh Donaldson, Tony, be effective without Edwin Encarnacion in the offense and potentially no Jose Bautista either?
I think it hurts. It's going to hurt the run score total. Remember, last year he batted two, right, in a lot of the order. Now you're taking Carcione. If you put him in three or four, he might get more RBI opportunities than he had in the past. So it could actually improve him there. The run scored will be down. And then a lot of people say, oh, he won't get the same pitching. I think a lot of time is that's overrated. I think if you look at it, Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter in baseball, right?
Yep.
And he had no protection behind him, but he hit 73 home runs.
Sure.
So I don't know how he would have done that.
Steroids.
Well, he had to get pitches over the plate, right, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just joking. Okay, Scotty.
Miguel Cabrera.
That is not correct. Miguel Cabrera, number 393 OBP. 393.
Here
close.
Here we go again.
Corey.
Somebody said, anybody say Paul Goldschmidt?
No, they did not, but he did finish with a 411 OBP.
Interesting, Corey was just typing on his phone right now, and then somebody said Paul Goldschmidt.
That's not true. That's not true at all. Yeah.
Goldschmidt.
How would somebody say it to you?
Goldschmidt had a really good year because he had 24 home runs, 32 stolen bases. Just a tremendous year from Goldschmidt.
32 stolen bases, amazing.
It's a saver amazing. First base.
First baseman. Ridiculous.
We talked about.
I mean, you could have.
Why are you hating, Scott?
What do you think? That's the. I don't like drafting, you know, power position guy. Like a lot of people at times, I thought Eric Hosmer was so overrated in fantasy drafts because people would draft him, he would steal 17 stolen bases.
Yeah,
he hit for power and anything. Paul Goldschmidt, you get everything, but he does have a decline in home runs the last two seasons.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Goldschmidt and Harper both saw a decline in power and a boost in speed last year.
Which is interesting. And that's something else. We talked about these new, like Kyle Shanahan, where he's going to go or whatnot, and how that's going to change, like Matt Ryan. Like, Bryce Harper, Dusty Baker came in there, stole more bases. Last year, Chip Hale, a manager in Arizona, he's out now, right? So they have a new manager in Arizona. And how is that going? Like, is Paul Goldschmidt going to steal 30 bases again? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
New manager, new style. So you can't. I don't think we could draft Paul Goldschmidt thinking you're going to get 25 to 32 stolen bases
again.
Can't
lock that in. Yeah.
I don't think so. So I want to. We know he can do it. I don't think you should draft him thinking you're going to get it.
Yeah, that skill may not dictate to the new.
I think there'll be a certain floor.
I totally
floor
agree
there, though,
with you.
Steal,
okay.
So when you do a draft, what you should be doing is you should be keeping track of your statistics as you go, and you add a player to your team.
Right.
So you should have a projection in mind. What would you project for stolen bases for Paul Goldschmidt? I would project 20.
20?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think 20.
And that's a lot.
It's a ton.
Yeah, that's still a good no, that's
how
a
many
good
home
number.
Runs would you project?
I'm going to go 30, and last year he was under that. Yeah, I'm going in between the last two seasons. I'm going to go 30 home runs. That ballpark
totally legit,
is the number four ballpark as far as offense goes in Major League Baseball. I just can't believe that he can't hit 30 home runs.
Okay. I was going to say 25, so but okay. So you're getting a 30-20 guy. I mean, that's why he's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Right? So
Yep.
Okay. Durability, not a concern?
No, durability I'm not concerned with at all.
Scott, why the hell was you hating on me a couple minutes ago?
What are you talking about?
You were saying that I was cheating.
You was on your phone and then you came.
I cannot have a conversation with my daughter's mother.
Then you said somebody said Paul Goldschmidt.
I didn't say somebody said
that's
Paul Goldschmidt.
That was just one of us.
If somebody said, yeah.
Paul Goldschmidt. But no,
I wish you would stop hating, Scott. You've been hating since I walked in here this morning.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. You're a player hater. No, you're a player hater. That's what I'm talking about.
It's complex.
You mad because I'm going to be at your house telling Sean to get me a bill.
Corey.
The odds of that happening are like the odds of like the Jets winning the Super Bowl.
Scotty,
can he says stuff like that, and then he goes, why are you hating? And no, you shouldn't be talking to your baby's mother during the show. Save that for the break.
Scott.
Yeah.
Can you name the last one?
What?
The last player.
The last play. Mookie Betts.
No, it's not Mookie Betts.
You talking about what people are doing during the show, Scott? Oh, are you serious? I've done this with you for 6 years, Scott. I'm not on a damn KISS message board.
I've never been on a KISS message board during the show.
That's bullshit. That is bullshit.
Never during a show.
That is bullshit.
Never during a show.
Straight up. I'll keep it 100. That is bullshit.
Right. Tony, can you need the last one?
I'll see you 10 minutes when the show starts.
Ooh. I'm hoping it's Edwin Encarnacion.
It is not Edwin Encarnacion. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know who it is. It's Buster Posey.
It is not Buster Posey.
It's not Jose Altuve?
He's not Jose Altuve. He finished 396, though. He just missed it. Scott, would you like another guess?
Charlie Blackman?
That was very good.
Blackman, but...
Oh, that was my pick.
DJ LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu.
Stop hating, Scott.
Led the league in average and also had an on-base
DJ
percentage.
What are you talking
about?
No,
you're hating on the fantasy.
I'm not hating
on you.
We'll
talk more about DJ LeMahieu in the coming days. One more baseball stat I do want to get to here in this hour, which we'll talk about, as well as our Golden Globes fantasy picks. We got to do that. It's coming up this Sunday. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues for hour number 3. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.